us, and I think we can start with our meeting. This is our second committee meeting, and the meeting that is aimed at orientating us on the basis so that that shall be concluded here by the support team. I hope that all of us will find the work of this committee exciting over the years, and decide an important committee that will also allow us to understand it much greater the task of this parliament. So I welcome you to this meeting, but as is one of the first meetings as well, it will be in order for us to just make a brief introduction of ourselves as members so that we become comfortable to refer to one another with names that you are in, maybe to, and also the team here, or like the team to introduce itself. Just as a start, just the team to introduce itself. I'll start on my left, so that the team introduces itself, and then I'll ask members, and we start with our talk. There is an agenda that is circulated, and it's much more of the key areas that are consideration of committee program, explanation of budget cycle, presentation on social support, and the presentation on research support, presentation of sector analysis and facility proposals, and presentation of provincializing of social support. So we'll start with, first I'll start with honorable members. I think that's better. Let's start with ourselves. My name is Mohai. My first name is Seif. Thanks.
There's no mic. Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Charles De Beer, and I'm from the lovely biggest province in the country, the Northern Cape.
Morning, members. My name is Justin Mutar. I'm from Gauteng.
Consolation of our shopi. Kit la kakubu kunubu piori. The Pachinam province.
Eugene from Ramesh from Deska.
Hello everybody. I am Farad from Malama. Good morning. My name is Emmanuel from Limpopo. Tilini is my family. Mtilili, H-I-L-E-L-I. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Can we have the support team now? Okay. Let's start from being with the line.
Good morning. I'm not Nosuke Buma. I'm a committee assistant to committee. Thank you. Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Mohi. My son is Johnson. I'm executive secretary to Honorable Mohi. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Silana Brown. I'm the research faculty.
Good morning, members. My name is Lobabalo Nadada. I'm committee president of the commission.
Good morning, members. My name is Mongana Tab. I am the content advisor for the commission.
Okay. You at the back? Yeah, let's just understand who is here. It's important.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Simon Wang, America Chair for the Commission on Finance.
Good morning, I'm Jocelyn Wetty, as an officer of Good morning, I'm a racist son, provincialized and also a
Christian.
Thanks. In greeting us at the right time, we're just introducing ourselves. So please, if we can just indicate those that have just joined us, and then we start with our meeting.
Morning, Honorable. I'm Matomla Khafudi. I'm an alumni officer for the North Province Electrician.
I think well, our meeting is fully represented, and it's really intended to deal with this matter that will help us over a period of time as we go out. So it's much more focused internally today. So I suggest that we proceed with our presentation. The third item is a consideration of committee progress. So we take you through. Are you? Yeah. The committee program, is it actually there? It's in the package. If it's now, I think, yeah, some suggested program areas that we consider certain issues. This program has been already awarded the chair, and it appears in the main program of the NCOP. This is more for looking for now. I think we can, if it's not that issue, we can agree with the program. Do you find program member? Yeah. We do agree with what the program suggests. It will take us until the 29th, when we shall be having a briefing by National Treasurer on appropriations here. So from now henceforth, next week, today, till the 29th, we shall be having meetings. Next week, it will be Salga National Treasury and FFC on the 22. It will be worked out by a parliamentary body office. And on the 29th, we'll be briefing by National Treasury on the appropriation deal. Agreed? Thanks, members. And then we'll go to item 2. Explanation. When I'm previous meeting. Yeah, can we consider minutes of the previous meeting? Meeting, all of us were in attendance. Okay, there was one apology, two absentees. But the minute of the previous meeting was really electing the chair, was to nominate the chair. This is a correct reflection. Thanks. So we confirm the minutes of the previous meeting. Then we... Is there any apology for this meeting today?
No.
No apologies. Okay. Alright, then let's proceed. Explanation of the budget item. Which item do we start with?
I'm going to start with the presentation by the Secretariat on committee support and procedure.
Okay.
For the agenda of today.
Okay. Leading us on that item.
Yes, yes,
okay. No, thank you.
Thank you, Sir President. The presentation that I'm going to lead here is going to cover the role of the Community Secretariat, the power and mandate of the community, but this item briefly because advocate will be going to deal with it extensively. I'm going to deal with the procedures or steps that we go through when we process the committee budget, wrapping up to a stage where the budget is approved. I'm going to talk through the major activities of the committee, the calendar year, the legislation that the committee is going to deal with, the committee reports, and the referrals, when are we supposed to draft the report, combined report, I'm sorry, when are we not appointed to combined report, when certain things are submitted to the committee, submissions that are going to be tabled before the committee, that are continuously tabled annually the committee, and then what I will raise as challenges also. Firstly, the committee is, committee support is comprised of two committee secretaries, an executive secretary to the chairperson, researcher, the committee advisor, the committee assistant. All of us as the support staff of the committee report both to the committee and also to the administration of parliament. So the system of dual reporting affects us. The role of the committee secretariat is to coordinate all committee activities, to provide procedural support and advice to the committee, including the chairperson. We will produce minutes and reports for each and every meeting, especially minutes. We develop programs in consultation with the chairperson, the WIP. We ensure that the committee budget is adhered to, including all committee activities. You know, where, you know, sometimes we can be tempted to do activities that will find it very difficult for Parliament administratively to approve or to fund. So we always advise to the committee and members that this item, we don't have a line item to process it, so we rather stick to the budget as the line items that are allocated in the budget of the committee. As I said, I'll briefly touch on the powers and mandate of the committee. The committee was established in terms of the Money Field Act, which was passed by Parliament, I think, towards the end of 2009. And the committee started operating fully as a separate committee from finance, in fact, from 2010, January 2010, I think so. But after the adoption of the establishment, I mean, in terms of this parliament, the committee started to operate, but it fully started, I mean, it started operating fully in 2010. The mandate of the committee, among other things, include considering and reporting on spending issues provincially, this is the focus has been on provincially, amendments to Division of Revenue Bill, Appropriation Bill, the Supplementary Appropriation Bill, Adjustment Appropriation Bill. The committee also considered recommendations of the Financial and Fiscal Commission, including those referred in terms of the Intergovernmental Fiscal Relations Act. I believe that advocate will explain fully, and I will also touch base on this one towards the end of the presentation, especially when I'm dealing with the referrals. The committee also considered the report on actual expenditure, which are published by the National Treasury on a quarterly basis. when we deal with these reports, National Treasury, we invite National Treasury to come before the committee and assist the committee in terms of like explaining to the committee the, what they have been told as the actual causes of under-expenditure, over-expenditure, and all that. So the committee lastly deals with any other related matter that are tabled before it. When it comes to committee programs, we draft committee programs quarterly. Like even this report ourselves a committee program. And the committee before committee program is signed by chairperson and approved, it goes through a number of stages. Firstly, ourselves as committee secretaries in consultation with the chairperson, we draft the committee program. If the chairperson is okay with it, and then we convene a committee management meeting within the whip of the committee, we sit, and also one member of the opposition together with us, we discuss the committee program, if maybe there are some amendments are made at that level, and thereafter, if the committee management team is happy with the draft of the program is tabled in the committee for adoption. So if the committee is there with the program, then the chairperson will sign and then will submit it to other offices for approval, like the Office of the House Chairperson, the Office of the Chief Whip, especially when we deal with the division of revenue, because sometimes we convene meetings during constituency periods. So it is very important that our program is approved by the Chief Whip so that when we convene committee meetings during constituency periods, we don't experience problems. Politically, we must get a buy-in and approval. So hence, it is important that the Chief Whip also signs our committee program. But under normal circumstances, the last person to sign committee programs, if I understand correctly, is supposed to be the House Chairperson of committees. In this slide, I'm going to deal with the overview of major issues of the committee in a year. During the first term of a year, January to March, the major activity is to process the Division of Revenue Bill. When we process the Division of Revenue Bill, unfortunately, because we must observe a what we call a six-week cycle, a rule, it's Rule 240 of the NPOP rules. Later on, I'm going to talk to that rule. So the division of revenue, process the division of revenue during the third term. And after processing the division of revenue, then there is a progression bill, which we are going to process now towards the end of this month. But it is only because this year is not a normal year. So there were elections in between, but under normal circumstances, the application bill by now, we are supposed to have kind of a synergy. Then after that exercise in the third term, another major activity that the committee needs to consider is the recommendations of the FFC to the division of revenue. This exercise, we deliberated on it ourselves as support staff, and we agreed that it must be a standard exercise. The committee in the third term, before the taking of the medium term budget policy statement, must ensure that the recommendations by FFC are tabled and considered, so that by the time the MTBS is tabled, everything must still be fresh in the minds of the committee members, you know, that they can be able to interact and engage National Treasury based on the recommendations of FFC. That exercise will schedule it when you come back after. We even said this exercise must schedule it just 3 weeks before, at least the latest 2 weeks before the tabling of the MTBS. After this one, then is MTBS, which is the it's a very kind of complex exercise. It is complex in the sense that
members will find themselves running around, because when we deal with this process, there is a legislation that we need to comply with, which is the Money Bills Act. The issue with that legislation is that it is impossible, because we need to comply with it. It is impossible to observe the six-week cycle that I referred to earlier on, of which later on I'm going to come back and undertake this six-week cycle, which is a rule of the NCOP. So this time around, we suspend the rule, we comply with the legislation. I've attached in your packs on the last page the legislation. Members can go through and just read it. The challenge with that legislation is that the time frames for processing the MPPBF are very tight. You are given 9 days to do a fiscal framework, 9 days to consider decision of revenue. Instead now of 6 weeks, it's only 9 days. So that's when now my colleagues from provinces will come in and unpack their challenges, you know, because when we deal with the decision of revenue amendment bill, there must be negotiating mandates, there must be final mandates, but all those documents must be submitted kind of within 5 days, if you can say really. So consider the use of public participation now, because provinces will say, what about public participation now? And then public participation is suspended, and then provinces become mad, and you know, they don't appreciate, because in a way they tend to interpret it as if parliament is kind of imposing and demanding them to just, because remember, they've got their own program. So it's like, now suspend your own program, because now parliament expects you to submit negotiating mandate and the final mandate. So that's where we've got the challenge when we process this. So it's kind of a stressful and it's towards the end of the year, you can imagine. So even the members will be tired by that time. But we are here to assist, colleagues are here. We will talk about all these issues, and I remember if I'm correct, last year there was a process of amending the legislation. I don't know how far it is. Maybe Honorable CP will also assist in terms of, like, if they, you know, some of us were not involved in that process. So now I'm going to try and unpack just how we process the decision of revenue in line with this six-week cycle. So this week's cycle looks like this. The first week, which is the box in the middle, in the slide, the committee will receive a briefing from the National Treasury. Documents will be submitted, and then we will ourselves and staff will disseminate information to interested stakeholders. And on that meeting, what is going to be, we also invite of portfolio committees and provinces, so that when our committee is given by the Minister of Finance, they must be present, you know, and assess the same information together with our committee. Then the second week, my committee members, yourselves, will go back to provinces, to brief provinces on this legislation. It's a tricky exercise, because we are talking about a legislation that involves finances. There are a lot of changes in terms of, sometimes there are changes in terms of allocation of control grants and all this stuff. So members will be expected to open to provinces, brief provinces about those changes. But what we normally do, we ask National Treasury to assist our members, allocate technical team. Maybe a member will be allocated, one senior colleague from National Treasury who works with the family and with those changes, to assist the member when they go to face the province. So it's a manageable exercise. There is support. Colleagues from provinces, provincializing officers, they are involved, you know, in terms of assisting, organizing logistics, I guess, but they will talk to you, you know. Then the third week, the provincial legislators, then after they get the precincts, they will convene public hearings, and then convene house meetings, and introduce the negotiating mandate, which will be forwarded to my colleagues here, who then submit, who normally then submit them to myself and to you. And then the following week, the committee will consider, week four, my committee then consider the negotiating mandate from provinces. At that stage, we always try and ensure that the draft report, because it's kind of a long report, is already, we also table on week four, table the draft report together with the negotiating mandate to the committee. So that during week five, when we consider the final mandate, the members must already by that time familiar with the report, because it's kind of a long report. Normally, always around 25 to 35 pages, you know, members must go through each. And then when we receive final mandate, obviously, provinces will have to sit and process the final mandate, convene house meetings on that side for the final mandate, and then final mandate will be forwarded to us. And then our job will end there when we adopt our report together with the final mandate. But then voting mandate then will be forwarded to SOP by provinces, of which they are normally like the same as the final mandate, you know. I think something that I forgot to mention during week four, provinces, of course, in the negotiating mandate, they will raise issues. For example, one case that comes to mind now is the issue of Moloto Road in Mpumalanga, which was kind of continuously raised in the fourth parliament. And I believe if what is being said in the media is correct, that now there are processes, you know, to deal with that. And I believe people of Mpumalanga will kind of benefit, because in our committee program, committee report, that issue was always there, even until last year until this year when we were presenting the decision of President Honorable Kenya. Honorable Mashile was vocal about it, even Mpumalanga. So I believe now national government is going to take care of that. Let me go back to that slide then and talk about the appropriating bill. This one is not a complex exercise. It's a question of receiving a briefing from the national department, and then the committee will adopt the report. The decision of president, the way we process the decision of revenue and appropriation bill is different. The decision of revenue, it is us at this level who deals with it extensively, but the appropriation bill, the NA committee deals with it extensively. We ask the question of adopting it, and even our report is a short paragraph. You know, we receive the briefing, we come to the committee, we have the report prepared, receive the briefing, then if the committee is okay, the committee adopts the report, and we are done with it, you know. And then the medium-term budget policy statement, I tried to explain. Normally, when we are at that stage, Minister will table amendment, the division of revenue bill amendment, adjustment appropriation amendment, you know, and then that's where now we will experience problems or challenges in fact, because provinces will always like rate issues because of the time frame, because they will be expected to process the adjustment appropriation, the division of revenue amendment bill, which at the beginning of the year we have constituted the process. But now, towards the end of the year, we must do that exercise in 9 days. Then that's where we have problems, you know. The issue then, as I explained before, is just the legislation that we need to comply with. Of course, the agenda provision bill, we also process it in line with the application bill, so there are no challenges with it. And in all these legislations, we must produce a report. As I said, the appropriations, the adjustment appropriations, the reports are very short, but with respect to the division of revenue, they are detailed reports. So they are long. Thanks.
And then the kind of committee report that was introduced in the previous parliament, where committee reports that focus on conditional grants, the number of conditional grants that the committee monitors in terms of expenditures by provincial departments, conditional grants like EPWP, mass sport participation, there was a hospital prevention grant, a number of them, I'm just mentioning a few. Then the committee on a quarterly basis will decide as to which conditional grants it will want to be briefed on. We'll invite MCs from provinces who are responsible for those conditional grants, invite the national departments that are also responsible for those conditional grants. But just to criticize the project, what are the challenges? Why expenditures need a low? Why there are over expenditures? You know, and maybe why province X is kind of spending is in line with the kind of percentages that it comes by expected to comply with the order. So, but it's different. You'll find that in one conditional grant, expenditures are expected to be 25% per quarter, or maybe 35% or 20% in quarter X. So those are the kind of issues that the committee may decide, you know, to also like check and see where it can assist others, in fact, those that are under the committee. And then the other report that the last committee dealt with were reports on oversight visits to municipalities. The committees previously, they were alternating. If maybe there are two oversight visits allocated per year, appropriation would lead, and then the next visit will be led by the Honorable DPA. You know, the report will almost be the same. So these two committees in this parliament may decide, say, okay, appropriations committee must focus on 1, 2, 3, and finance committee must focus on 1, 2, 3, and maybe say, if we have got an oversight visit week, we have got 4 days or 5 days, let's lead 2 days for appropriations, 2 days for finance. In the last parliament, what we did towards the end of it, we decided to use the first day of the oversight visit for the Select Committee on Appropriations to visit conditional grant projects, because I think members picked up that the glossy presentations that they receive when they are here don't talk to what is happening on the ground, and I think the findings were really pointed to that direction, because we'll find out that Project X, in terms of expenditures, money each and every year continuously pumps that project, but there is no progress. You know, I can make the example of the Northern Cape Mental Health Hospital. It was one of the projects that opened our eyes. Yeah. I have already indicated the conditional grant project, the report on conditional grant project, and of course, like the report on bills. When we consider the MTBS, we produce two reports, instead of three reports. One report is for the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, the other one for the Adjustment Appropriation Bill. And then the third one is the one which will focus on proposed conditional grants for provinces and local government allocation. Remember, the MTBS, it's an indication of what government intends to spend in the next 3 years. So it's kind of a process, what government will spend in the next year. So hence then, other reports will indicate the proposed conditional grant, and the focus will be on proposed conditional grant allocation. Okay. All issues that the committee will deal with will be formally referred to the committee on the HSC. The referral on the HSC,
when it clearly indicates that this matter is for consideration and report. So when it says consideration and report, we don't have an option. It's a must that we must produce a report, because after that, the House will also schedule a debate on that exercise or on that referral. But if it only says for consideration, it's for the kind of information sharing for the committee. The committee can invite stakeholders and indirect, but not produce a report. Because if the committee tries to produce a report, that report won't be scheduled for debate in the House. It will be for only the committee to interrogate, discuss, invite stakeholders, you know, and go through issues, what are the challenges, and all the stuff, you know, but won't produce a report. An exercise where, I mean, a referral that is normally referred to the committee, but the committee is not expected to produce a report, of which is an annual submission, is the RFC's submission on division of revenue, not recommendation. You know, is the one that earlier on I said, after we had a session amongst ourselves, we agreed that this one we must schedule at least 3 weeks before the table of the MTBDS, so that when the MTBDS is tabled, everything must still be fresh in the minds of our members, you know, so that they can be able to interact with National Treasury and any other relevant stakeholders based on the advice that the FFC will be making. Okay. Challenges that I can mention firstly is the issue of tight time frames and processing the MTBDS, which of course will lead to the provinces not understanding why the 6 week rule 240, which states that the 6 week strike must be followed when this legislation to be not the amendment bill is processed, you know. So that one is the major challenge that the committee is going to experience next year, I mean towards the end of the year. I think that is the end of my presentation. Thank you, Honourable Members. You can take questions if the chairperson wants us to take questions now.
Thanks very much for the presentation, Lubabalo. Now, can I have anything for members? Do you want to comment or raise few issues, or we proceed with the other presentation? We proceed. Just take another presentation. Members will ignore some of the issues. There are some urban challenges, I think, the crux of the issues. Then we'll take another presentation on the research work. Mrs. Bao.
I'm just here to present the role of a researcher. So my role is to provide research support to the committee. I provide research briefs that are responsible to the committee program. I also prepare background papers for oversight visits, international studies and conferences. And I also draft briefs that have been requested by members and staff. I've also provided an orientation paper in the packages that you've received. It's mainly a brief overview of the role of the committee. Key legislation that the committee has to assume, which was mentioned by Lubabalo in his presentation, key national policies, which is the NDP and the MTBTS, which is relevant for the work of the committee, and it also describes key issues that have emerged from stakeholders in the host parliament and how this impacts the provinces. And then I've also provided a list of key acronyms. That's in short. Thank you, sir.
So you learned that? Yeah. Okay. And
good.
So we're going to give over to Advocate now?
Yes.
Okay. Advocate Bell. Thanks.
Good morning, honorable members. As indicated, my name is Mungana Tam. First, I just want to, before I proceed, that the presentation that is going to be made here will be more loaded than the slides that members have. I did not want to overload members with certain things that may not make sense. So I just, maybe if I explain them, then members will be able to phone. As indicated, my role is a content advisor. I will not say much about my role, but in brief, it's to support the committee in strategic planning that is and also with content support to make sure that whatever document is produced by the committee has got something or content that is used. So my job will become clearer as we continue. What I'm going to present is the data analysis. Now, unlike other committees, in the NA, the set of the committee will be a particular department. In the NCOP, it may be a cluster of departments. But for this committee, the sector is the three spheres of government, the national, the provincial, and the local government.
Yes.
You can imagine now if the committee is given that money and also to focus on the spending issues of the three spheres. But the main focus of the committee is on concurrent function as stipulated in the Constitution. I will not dwell much on the overview of the committee mandate because that has been repeated time and again. On the situational analysis, I decided to present to the committee first the internal situation, Parliament, where is Parliament, and then I'll also present the analysis of the sector as it is. The situation analysis will in particular focus on the NCOP. Now, here is the current Parliament strategic objective, as was in the fourth Parliament. I believe the fifth Parliament will also develop its own strategic objective. For now, that is the vision, the mission, strategic objectives. Now, as the committee plan, that committee plan should speak to the strategic objective. How is the committee going to implement the strategic objective of Parliament to make sure that we achieve that better life for all? It's already been indicated by my colleague here about the source document. I had the privilege of attending the chairperson's training at the Chief Whip was saying members must read. And I believe the Whip here will also help us to make sure that members read. As indicated, the national producer, the content advisor will provide content advice. And if that information is not utilized by members, then it will be on. Now, these in brief are some of the documents that members will need to familiarize themselves. But I can assure members, we are here to simplify this document so that the members can go through them. We are aware that members are not here because they have finance, etc. But our job is to make sure that at the end of the term, members will be seen as expecting finance. The sector analysis now, I start with what I call the silent features of the sector. I want to start with the strength and what are the opportunities. Currently, we have what is called the medium-term expenditure framework. That is planning for 3 years. And that creates an opportunity for proper planning in all the fields. Because now, if you know what you are going to receive for the coming 3 years, then you can plan. The more than 1 trillion budget is divided into 3 years, as indicated there. The national gets 47.5%, provincial gets 43.5%, and local share gets 9%. One may be tempted to think that is this 9% not so little? The advantage of the local share is that they also have the opportunity for raising revenue. But as to whether this 47, 43, 9% is equitable, it will be up to the members to interrogate the budget when the minister starts. And the third phase starts during the medium-term budget statement. Because that is the time where the minister indicates what are the government priorities and how is the money going to be divided. Another good thing that happened during the House Parliament was the revised local government equitable share revenue formula. In the past, there were complaints that the manner in which the share is divided, it does not favor rural municipalities. The formula has been revised. There are still some challenges, but it is a good thing because this will ensure funded mandate and proper planning. Now, a funded mandate is when a function assigned to a sector or a tier of government is being allocated funds. Now, if there are no funds, but the tier is there to perform certain functions, that is unfunded money. Another advantage is conditional grants to village fear. While national seems to receive more and present, but there is also certain grants that will come from national, from provinces down to the municipality. And that also adds on the 9%. And this conditional grant creates an opportunity for cooperative governance and intergovernmental relations where the various spheres support one are. That is a very good thing because that is what NGOP is all about, to ensure that there is cooperative governance and good intergovernmental relations. Now, when the spheres are sharing these resources, it creates that opportunity. What are the challenges? Now, the weaknesses I will explain as we continue. Happens when spheres underspend or ask for rollover. Now, an underspending in itself means a service is being postponed. A rollover means a service being postponed. It compromises service. That is one challenge that members need to be aware that in this sphere, it's not only local government. Even provinces and national departments do understand and do approve. And there is also negative audit opinion. Now, a negative audit opinion, it is when the auditor general indicates that there are matters of emphasis. That is opinion with findings. It shows weaknesses. But when the auditor general gives a qualification opinion or a qualified audit opinion, then that means there are certain things that need serious attention. The
finding, because now the auditor general says, I can't even express my opinion on this. Now, in short, what has happened in this sector, there was some regression in this audit opinion. Instead of improving, I will come to that later, that slide later on. Now, the outcome of the negative audit opinion is that they compromised with delivery and also sent a wrong message. Hence, I indicated public perception. So now, where the finding is a disclaimer, then issues of corruption can be assumed. And even if there is no corruption, for the measure that there is no proper corruption, then there are this wrong perception. During the fourth parliament, there has been intervention. Now, in terms of the Constitution, Section 100 and Section 189, one state can intervene in another state. The record shows that over this period there has been 37 interventions. Who can imagine? If there is intervention, it means something was not going right. And the question is clear. It says if one state is not performing, let's say the municipality, the local the provincial department that is responsible for local government, the MEC need to first indicate to that municipality, you are not performing as expected. And then give a directive, correct, do what is expected. If there's no correction, then a notice is given, wherein the department will say, we will come and help you. And if there is no response, then it is the intervention where it is in terms of Section 139C. Then the local, the provincial department will take over the function. The same provision applies to when the national department takes over another provincial department. There is also a case of municipalities with low revenue base, and also generally, municipalities have got problems in collecting revenue, and that creates quite a number of problems, funded mandate, cash flow problems, and liquidity problems. Because when the money is not coming in, you can imagine whether service providers will be paid. There is a slide that will explain, just give a picture, how many municipalities are owed and how they owe, or to what extent. Another thing that also may come across is fears taking each other to court. Now, when a sphere of government takes another to court, it most cases happens during intervention. And in some cases, the sphere that takes another sphere to court wins the case, not because there is no reason for intervention, but because maybe a correct procedure was not followed. And the NCOP is in a better position because in terms of the Constitution, when there is an intervention, the council needs to approve that intervention. Or if it's not approved, then it's absent. Now, if the intervention is referred to the committee, like our committee appropriation, and the committee endorses the intervention, it challenged, and the challenging party wins the case, it won't reflect good on the committee. The committee will have recommended to the House. So, at the end of the day, what suffered is service delivery. So, going to court and out of court, service delivery is being compromised. There is another challenge of weak intergovernmental relations. Municipalities, in some cases, complain that during the IDP process, integrated development plan, the sector departments don't send senior officials who understand or who know what is happening. Let me give an example. If the national department is going to build a library in the municipality, but it does not inform the municipality,
that project will not be captured in the IDC. And when the library is completed, the municipality must take over. You may find that at that time, there is a building without any staff or there is no electricity, there is no water because the sector is not up to one another. Those are some of the challenges. Another challenge is capacity constraints, skill shortage, high staff turnover, high vacancy rate within municipalities. The Auditor General has also remarked on that. And all this also compromise service delivery. You can imagine if the municipality doesn't have an engineer, it means project management and administration will become a problem. The last challenge is the structural challenges within local municipalities. Now, over the period, there has been a number of interventions in the local government because of this structural challenges. There was what was called Project Control Day. There was the Manjin, local government general strategy, operation in August 2014. Recently, the president has mentioned that government will intervene in certain municipalities. Now, that shows that this has got some structural challenges, and when members have to oversight, that needs to be taken into consideration. These are examples of withholding of funds. For the 2018, in this grant, comprehensive agriculture support grant, Northern Cape, may I request members just to note a question there? The second column should be amount and then the third one will be thank you. Now, that amount, which is 74 million, which was supposed to be a first payment, could not be sent for a period exceeding 120 days. That money was kept. Now, what forces another way to keep that money is when there are no plans or the conditions of that grant are not complied with. Then that year will withhold the fund. That is what happened. Another withholding to provinces, it was in the Nairobi school grant. Again, the second column is the amount, and the third one is the change. Now, those are the first payments. For 30 days, first payments could not be made for provinces like Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape, Northwest, and Western Cape. And that mainly had to do with training. But we are in a three-year planning department, no, in advance. Why they don't plan? That is what members will have to interrogate during interaction with this sector. Now, this United School grant, there was also withholding during the second trench, I mean, which means the first trench could not be sent, the second one could not be sent, because certain stipulations were not complied with. There was also withholding of education infrastructure grant. The provinces affected is Eastern Cape, Free State, Northwest. There was also withholding of grants by the expanded public works program integrated grant. Almost all provinces here. Eastern Cape, Free State, Housing, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Northern Cape, Northwest, Eastern Cape. In this grant, mass participation, sport and development grant, that is also the situation. Now, coming back to municipalities, as on the third quarter, that is the 31st of March, because the financial year of municipalities is the 30th of June, this was the situation. The adjusted budget was 314.2 billion, of which expenditure was 197.8 billion. 70.6%, which is what pension. Out of 63.3 billion, only 26.9 billion was spent, which means only 43.8% was spent. That is only the first quarter. It's all that money will not be spent by the fourth quarter. Grant transfers to 24.8 billion was transferred, only 12.3 billion was spent, which is 49.5 during the first quarter. And if that money is not spent, it will be returned by the treasurer. And who suffers? People at the ground. Service delivery. Compromise. All over 4.1 billion, only 615.2 million was spent. 14.9%. Now the challenge to roll over is when the department or the minister cannot spend that particular period, the rollover will add more because more money is coming in. Now it becomes a problem. It becomes a recurring problem. But now what is surprising here is the condition to approve rollover is that the funds must be committed. Now, if the funds were committed, why now the understanding? Maybe there is been a pressure we have to explain why the rollover was approved, but it could not be spent. Now, the situation as far as debt are concerned is like this. Municipal consumer debt, 93.4 billion. Owed to municipality. The share of government debt is 4.1 billion. Why the shares are not paying others? It points to intergovernmental relations and cooperative governance. The household debt and the money owed to metros. But now when you go down, you can see that even the metros, city of Johannesburg, it's of Cape Town, it's of Swan, several municipalities. These are the money that is owed. And that will also impact on their own capacity to carry their money.
Maybe can hold it there. I just thought, no, are those figures actuals or estimates?
These figures are released by the National Treasury in terms of Section 71 of MFA. Yes. There is a press release from the National Treasury.
Okay.
It can be made available to the honorable member. Now, municipalities owe 18.3 billion. And that report can indicate which are municipalities. For these outcomes during 2012-18, now the AG indicated that progress towards 2014 is very slow because only 5% OT returns to audit opinion. We talk of 278 municipalities. Now, 5% during the State of the Nation address, the President congratulated upon 11 municipalities. It would have been a better. Maybe if the number was more, at least half or more. But it shows that there are challenges as far as audit opinions are concerned. 41 audit improved while they still regressed. 41 municipalities who could not get clean audit opinion, they go up. 50 is going down. Now, there is no progress, you can see. And the AG also indicated that local government experienced skill shortage in crucial skills that are necessary for service delivery. That is another challenge. And the lack of capacity assess ability to account for resources. The AG goes further to say 73% of ODTs could not produce critical financial statements due to vacancies in key positions, and key officials are without the minimum competencies and skills. Issues for consideration during the committee strategic planning. Having shown the committee what the sector looks like. There are the issues that the committee needs to consider. How will the committee carry its mandate in line with Parliament's vision since 2009 that called for 70% oversight and 30% on other functions? How will the committee ensure an equitable distribution of resources among the spheres and also ensure that mandates are funded? How will the committee ensure that current strength translate into better services for a better life? How will the committee carry out its legislative mandate in the context of cooperative governance and intergovernmental relations? During the fourth parliament, how the committee used to conduct the oversight was to bring everybody on board. You call the municipality, you call the local, the provincial department, the national department, and the committee went further even to extend the invitation to the legislature, the committee in the legislature responsible for local government. And that helped the three spheres to work together. I think I may stop here and thank one of the members for your audience. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cage. I think this report sector analysis has flagged issues that the areas that will require our attention as we move forward. As we suggested that some of them, when we consider our strategic planning session, thoroughly be able to map out how we want to deal with these issues. Thank you very much. I will invite the last presentation on the provincial liaison officer presentation. I'm advised Marek will speak on behalf of the colleagues. So after that, if she's ready, I'll allow members to grab some tea and flex for 10 minutes and then we'll undertake our deliberations before we continue. Let's allow Marek to make a presentation. But I do not deny members to stand as they wish to pick. But I haven't seen water yet. Hot water. The weather is beating down. No, not cold water. I want that to warm up. It's really very cold. No. We are told that you have got serious experiences, frustration, concerns about the mandate and so forth, attendance. So share with us what your experience is and then just we have a sense of what really we need to grapple with. Thanks.
I got a few questions here.
Yes.
Maybe before the presentation of it's for you to decide whether you would want to invite maybe comments or questions after she has presented, or maybe you can allow us to put these questions to you now.
The intention is that it will be brief, but let them just like issues and then we take discussion. Is it taking long? If that is the case, then we can allow discussion.
And I also currently act as legal advisor for NCFP issues for the legislature. With me is my colleague Jocelyn Moretti, the senior NCFP liaison officer for the Health and Provincial Legislature. Now, we have been mandated by the provincial liaison officers just to give a presentation on the support that we provide to members of the committee. Now, all provincial legislatures have a NCFP liaison office in Cape Town. The staff complement of the officers are dependent on the resources of the different legislatures. And accordingly, the service provided by the officers also differs from legislation to legislation. Now, I would say that the element that we all have in common is that we are responsible to provide an effective and efficient flow of information between the legislature and the NCRP, and also all provide a support service to our delegations in the NCRP. My colleague, Robson, will take you through the process that will involve the support that we give in the process of Section 76 legislation. And then I will take you through the challenges that we experience. Okay, introduction of bill. When a bill is introduced in the national or in parliament, every as an officer, it is our duty to make sure that our province receives the ATC as well as the bill in order for them to start planning for the process that will follow. Section 76, during the DORA, we will also make sure and liaise with the committee to make sure that, you know, everything is on board. The provinces have the bill. They also have the ATC in order for us to refer it to our committee in the province. The referral to the NCOP when the bill is done in the NA and referred to the NCOP. It is once again our duty to make sure and responsibility to make sure that the ATC gets to the province to inform the province that this bill is now with us, with the National Assembly. During the referral process, there is two stages. We refer the bill to the committees in the province for informally, that is when the bill is not in front of the NCOP yet. We refer it then formally to the committees. That means now the bill is with the NCOP, now we can start the process. The first process is informally just for planning purposes. Be aware the bill is here, you need to start planning. But wait until the bill is in front of the NCOP. We cannot do anything in the province if the bill is not with the NCOP. The process stops there. We first need to wait until the bill is with us. Briefing by National Department. As we have officers, we will wait for a notice from the committee to be sent to the province to inform them that the National Department will have a briefing on this specific bill. We will then send this notice to the relevant committee and request for special delegates. Sometimes it will be the chairperson of that committee that will attend. Sometimes it will be committee members of that relevant committee. Provincial briefings. During the provincial briefing stage, our permanent delegates and the national department will go over to the provinces to do the briefing. We liaise with the national department, as liaison officers, to give them the date of each province that they will have their provincial briefings, the venue and the time. We work very closely with the committee to ensure that the department is abroad and has all this information at hand. Our permanent delegates, we also make sure that they are aware when this briefing will take place. The provinces will send us, we call it sometimes invitation document or a notice that we will submit to the Chief Whip's office to show them that this meeting has been scheduled for provincial briefings and our permanent delegates then need to go over and brief the different provinces. The same with the public hearings. We will inform the permanent delegate as well as the National Department of the public hearing dates, venues. Most of the time the venue is not at the legislature, it will be in a different place. We will make sure that the department is there to give their support. And then we will begin to form the negotiating mandate. As liaison officers, once again, it is our responsibility to make sure that the province sends our negotiating mandate in time. We will also get a notice from the committee informing us when this negotiating mandate needs to be in Parliament, needs to be with them. We try and get the mandate a little bit earlier in order for the permanent delegates to go through the negotiating mandate and familiarize themselves before that meeting takes place. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we don't. The provinces sometimes have a very tight schedule, so we will run into a meeting and present our mandate while the meeting is busy. So we're still working on that. After the negotiating mandate meeting, we need to make sure that the minutes reach the province before our final mandate meeting is scheduled. If that minute does not reach us in time, we cannot go ahead with our meetings in the province because there is no proof or there is no minute of the meeting that took place. Once again, we work very closely with the committee and they've always given us their support. We will tell them that not provinces you need to deal with. All of us have our meetings on different dates and different times. So they're very efficient in that way to make sure that all the provinces get the minutes in time. The final mandate we received, when we received that, we also made sure that the committee as well as the NCOP has a copy of their final mandate. That is our support with regards to the process. As liaison officers, we will discuss our extra that we do for each province with our permanent delegates, because each of us has that ad hoc that they shall do. So we just flagged this as a whole of what we do as liaison officers during this process. Thank you.
The committee program for the consideration of Section 76 legislation is never cast in stone. There's always changes happening at short notice, which creates problems for the provinces. Firstly, especially in the smaller provinces, members serve on more than one committee, and we have committees clustered. So you cannot just change committee meeting to suit the program of the NCLP or the direct committee. It's not always possible in some of the legislatures. Also, with short notice, public participation is not effective. Especially in your rural provinces, you're forced then with the time frames to concentrate public hearings in just one area, and it's normally in the urban area, because you don't have the time to travel to rural areas to conduct hearings. And that affects that process as well. Then, thirdly, according to the mandating procedures of the provinces, a final mandate must be conferred by the provincial legislature. And that means the sitting of the House needs to be called. So if at short notice that process, that program is changed, the date for the submission of those mandates is changed, it's difficult for legislators just to change the date of the sitting. There's cost implications there, especially for the smaller legislatures, once again. You cannot just call a sitting to confer a mandate on one bill, a 10-minute sitting. There's cost implications for that. So we try, and when you call a sitting, we want to know in advance that these bills are coming, we need to confirm mandates, so we see other issues, other debates for that same sitting as well. So if the day changes, all of a sudden we have to, our schedule just 10-minute sitting to confer a mandate, which is cost implication. Then another point is meetings on a Wednesday that are called by select committees where they want MECs to be present. In most of the provinces, the ESCO meets on a Wednesday. So the MCs are never available on a Wednesday to come to Cape Town for meetings. So that is an issue that needs to be looked at. And then also, if an MC is unavailable, the committee needs to indicate to the provinces who is an acceptable representative for that MEC. If there's a viable excuse why the MEC can't be there. Then the last point is, special delegates and the mostly chairpersons of the relevant committees in the legislature are always invited to the budget lockup session, but no provision is made for them to attend the budget speech itself.
Yes.
But I know the ministry control most of the tickets, but they make provision for the MCs to attend, but the chairpersons are always left without a seat in a public gallery. So we ask the committee with that process as well, to speak to the ministry and see if tickets can be allocated for the dead persons as well, which are being invited by the committee to attend the lock-up session. If they could assist in facilitating that as well for us. Okay,
that brings us to the close of our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the presentation. And we must be free for lunch for tea. We have a tea break, or
On this topic here, I was a chairperson in the Western Cape of the Finance Committee, and I want to support the lady there with her presentation there. There's a few extra popsicles in the legislature which you don't even know about. The first thing is, if the legislators on the oversight visit, that Parliament's closed. Now, your request goes to the Speaker. The Speaker has to refer it to the chairperson. But now the Parliament is closed for that. There's no committees sitting for that specific week on oversight visits. There can be no committee meeting. So the chairperson is another week longer before the committee sees this. Then they have to decide on the public participation. That has to be advertised. To advertise it, they must get permission according to the PFNA. That's a process of about 40 days. To get that, you're speaking a lot of money, because if you advertise, because you have to advertise for in the Western Cape for the COSAS, the Afrikaans-speaking people and the English-speaking people, you're talking about 40,000-50,000 rand. So that you can't just authorize with one signature. That has to be go through the whole process to get that approved. Then you get the money approved for this advertisements. Then advertisements even go out. Now you must give at least 7 to 14 days time for the people, for the public to take notice of this meeting. You can't publicize it today and have it tomorrow. Events have to be identified all over the Western Cape, etc., because it's about the content of the bill now. And you have to decide this committee, what are you going to do about this? So maybe it's such an important bill that you have to go to three or four or five areas in your specific province. Because you can't dull it in George, and then what about the West Coast, etc. So you have to decide West Coast, George, Beaufort West, and Cape Town. That's usually the four areas, maybe Worcester as well. So now you can see the cycle, this 6 week cycle you're talking about. It's nonsense. There's no way we can even try to accommodate you. Then you have to get this national department to come and assist the member here to do the presentation to the committee. There's only specific days for specific committees. So if you miss out on a cycle, if you miss out on your Wednesday and Thursday meeting, it has to stand over for a whole week before that can happen again. If it's not possible for the national department to assist and be available, that's over for another week, so that's another week gone. So this whole process of 6 weeks is on. It was crazy this beginning of this year. We were running out of time in all areas. I don't know if the people here knew what pressure they put all the committees under in the legislators. It was crazy outside. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Deer.
Chairperson, it's a crucial point. But although the PLOs are the link between the NCOP and the provincial legislators, we are the link as well. I speak of my own province. In terms of the Division of Revenue and all other bills that were assigned to the assembly sessions to the provinces, it's my duty to link immediately after that meeting up with my provincial work in the legislature. My job. It's a contract and then the email. To link up with the chairperson of the program committee in a provincial legislature. In our case, it's a deputy speaker of the legislature on the board, Unita Vietz. And then inform the PLO what we did the following. Then they take their route with the administrative papers and blah, blah, blah. I point the finger back to ourselves as that link. Now, in the previous parliament, the first parliament, Robert Jack Becker was from the Western Cape. The link between this committee, finance and the provisions, with the legislature. I come back to what you have to do after you leave the committee room and the meeting is done. And you know by the following what happens. Let the process kick in. also to assist us in this whole thing of the 76 process, the 6 week cycle chairperson, is when we call them the chairpersons of finance in the legislature to come and attend. When it's a fiscal framework, when it's a wish of revenue, appropriations, well, it's the same principle. They come on board here, they take all the documentation with them to the provinces, and they can immediately engage that committee. Don't have to wait for your letter to come, they can immediately. Naledi Pando referred to it last week. You don't have to wait. You can bring in advance. So that's how we can also try and speed it up. The issue about rural areas, yes, it's crucial. We would like to have rings in Alexander Bay and in Norval Spawn, up in Kuruman and down in Fraserburg in the Northern Cape. Northern Cape is as big as Germany. So it's quite a challenge. But then your comet is split into teams. Team A is going to Upington, Team B is going to Coastburg. And then that's how we work in the Northern Cape, because of the challenge of distances. I just want to give this
perspective. There's five members in committee.
That person as well.
I think the two members have just said the how important it is just to hook up our attention in finding solution from this. And we need to also a bit of creativity, be responsive in dealing with these matters on time. But those issues where briefing from Wednesday coincide with the executives who know that we will not have successful meetings. So we need to be flexible as well to shift or schedule meetings on days where we know that provincial delegations will attend to meeting. I mean, Wednesday, even here in Atlanta, it's a problem if you start fighting. Is it fortnight? The meeting, but the cycle always changes. Or even the same in provinces. Yeah, that one, that is what is the problem. So, let's break for tea. Let's have 10 minutes break. And then, 10 minutes is right. Yeah, it's for us. 15 minutes before.
No, it's fine. I'm not complaining. No, I'm not complaining. I'm used to the. You don't report to me. I'm just complaining.
and
I hear me should be different from the but that's the question.
Carmen S. S. D. D. I. With our dog, J.S.I. Come on, my sister has been said that Carmen S. is in the same Carmen S. Okay, I shall be your doctor. Okay, fine. Bye. You want to just document? You want to just? Do you even call it?
There are a couple of issues that we presented here from the first presentation of the report. The career presentation.
Yeah.
And then the sector analysis. And the last one was based on the provincialized notice of presentation. I think that we take comments as members already. Are there any other issues, members, that you want to comment on? Some issues that you want to discuss? I was just asking Luwabalo what is the process, when are we likely to have our strategic session as a committee? But it seems that it will be a long process. Because we have a number of other activities to take place first prior to us having our strategic session. But the one point, okay, let's just look into the issues that were raised. If you want to comment, propose a process of managing some of the issues. I take these reports were really assisting us to deepen our understanding to find our ways of working.
Okay.
Yeah, to find our ways of working that we and also to as members beforehand that there will be a number of reports that will be generated by the committee. It will be useful that we read these reports and make sense out of them, correctly interpret them. This committee of appropriation, and I guess those with the committee which for our VHS of finance. Unfortunately that we quite a number of us are in the same committee. But I think the kind of information that we this committee generates committee stakeholders that we relate to is quite very factual information that we seized with. And the interpretation thereof is very crucial of how what we use with the information. Our probing exercise on the oversight, the intention to assist in finding solutions. I always say, in fact, there's always a saying that figures don't lie. So we come across figures that tell the story. And the challenge will be what to do as members of the community, most instances. How do we really use information at our disposal? So it's a committee that is not playing petty political games, but a committee that takes information for what it is and tries to find solutions to take it before. So really, we think in this committee we should seize the opportunity that it is one important committee of parliament. One important committee for parliament that we said in appropriations and that committee of finance. So there will not be a Chinese wall in coordinating the function of these committees. I think we'll also draw from the experience of the honorable member here so that we find creative ways of functioning effectively. I am not doing that was the closing remark. But I just a trust, my understanding of the trust of what we should be doing. Who was talk? Okay, if no members are willing to talk, then the chair closes the meeting. Okay, sorry, member.
Chairperson, you were, please know the chairperson, you were spot on, actually you were summarized. Just one point on the program, referring to the next week and the week thereafter, I spoke to the government whip, Omar Montara, that we dovetailed the program referring to a joint committee meeting of financial corporations, because we will be dealing with the same stakeholders. And maybe pay a separate day just for the budget office professor to head regarding their specialties, etc. So I'm leaving it in the capable hands of our committee work. The other chairperson is the issue of the municipalities. Now, the Select Committee on Finance dealt with the municipalities because we inherited it in 2009 when we came here. There was one committee called Finance and Appropriations. And when the money bill had kicked in, we split up in December 2009. And then Uncle Charlie became the chairperson of Appropriations. So, and then we just continued with the legacy report to direct us. But strictly speaking, chairperson, municipality falls under appropriations in terms of the division of revenue. And that's what I tried to last week in action. Because it's allocation of the funds to municipalities, which is very, very important to monitor. But the two committees can look at the workload to make it maybe a bit lighter for appropriations, but we can manage that. And just a request that the staff also supply the members with the latest report from the Auditor General, a presentation the AG done with us before the election. And that report we circulated to the Auditor members. It's valuable, it's important information to give us a better background of what we're going to deal with in the very, very, very near future. And on a lighter note, Jefferson, the mental health hospital in the Northern Cape is now the 10th year in trying to complete this hospital. It's been taken over by the National Department regarding funding, and on the premier said they will complete it in this financial year. So, it's just standing there. But if you look at the process of this mental hospital project planning, it doesn't make sense if you look at the same type of hospital, not a mental hospital, being built in Mafeking, without any hiccups, in the state of an art facility. The two processes is totally different. And that's what is coming out in the appearance of those two partners before the NH committees and our appropriation committee, if you look at the reports, that features now. So, thank you, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity.
thank you very much.
So we think that members agree, do you agree, members, that yes, we pick the preparation for the next meeting, that it be a joint meeting?
Yes.
We deal with those issues that we are proposing.
Good suggestion.
Okay. Member Mukara, you want to say something? Okay.
I just want to support what the member said, Munir, about this briefing this morning. It was well done and it was well prepared, and thank you very much for your input.
Thank you much. There are comments. We will get the report of the Auditor General, the latest report of the Auditor General. Yes, this presentation also is a useful presentation. We we'll always go back to presentation of the official issues that were raised around conditional grant.
Mm-hmm.
The project cycle, what is the project management, and the current reform processes, procurement reform, that were applied during the date of the national event. Future reports maybe that will interact with as the Committee of Finance and the appropriations on there, exactly what is it that they adopt this report. So, okay, is there anything that I'm missing? When I check on my left or on my right, I'm seeking advice before I take the meeting. I normally sit on my left, and then I am reading right. I check on my left or my right, and then because the indication is that we are happy with the presentation of the meeting, this presentation will serve us
good in future. They always be reference points because these are we're getting started, I think. Basically, that is an indicator. So we'll prepare ourselves for meeting our stakeholder. And I think I'll emphasize that because in our workshop, we did raise a point that documents should be, we should receive documents on time so as to facilitate healthy discussions and debates during presentations. So our stakeholders will be made aware of the expectation of members so that we always have meaningful engagement. So practicality will be done, I think, by the Secretariat of our meetings next week, and then there will always be a level between us to finalize what about the meeting. Thank you very much. We didn't have one for tea break before, and thank you very much.
Thank you.